One, two, three, four.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're three people.
Again!
Who's the third person?
I'm pregnant.
Oh, no.
No.
Josh, are you just finding out?
This is how I'm telling the world.
She's 248 months pregnant with me.
What an articulate fetus you have.
Oh, my goodness.
And guys, math is way off, by the way, because I'm just doing it now in my head. I'm like, no, that wasn't even
That's
close.
Not enough months. Not enough months.
A lot of weird things have been happening lately, guys. No, we are three people because we are joined by our second special guest in almost as many weeks, Rob Paravonian.
Hi, Rob.
Hey, hi. Hello.
Rob is a man of many voices and many talents. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Rob.
My name is Rob Paravonian. I'm a musician and a comedian, and so I do comedy music. I also produce my own stuff in my little home studio, and I tour a bit and do funny videos online sometimes.
Cool. One of those funny videos that our listeners may be familiar with is the Pachelbel rant, which has
classic.
About 14 million views at this point.
Yeah,
I think it's around there. Yeah, it's I uploaded it. It's actually going on 11 years, 10 and a half years. It was in the early days of YouTube. I think I posted it around November of 2006, and over the years, it's amassed quite a lot of views. It gets passed around, and I even got an email. I get emails or messages pretty regularly. I just got one. Teachers sometimes say that they've played it in class for like music appreciation
cool.
class or sometimes even a math class, someone just said.
So that's,
yeah, I feel like I should get some sort of tenure because it's been a while now and it gets played in a lot of academic settings apparently.
You're that's shaping awesome. Young minds, Rob.
And I feel like, and sorry to like trot that out, I feel like we were like the people who came up to you and were like, say the thing, like do your tagline. Hey man, do the thing. Can you say it for me? But like, yeah, no. But you probably would have seen this video at a certain point on YouTube.
And
it
obviously
was
there's
everywhere.
A lot of new content since then.
Ah, yes.
Online.
Yes.
Where can that content be found, Rob?
My online nexus is robprocks.com. That's robprocks.com. My last name's Paravonian, so I figured Rob P. Rocks was easier for people to spell.
Good move. Yeah. And Rob also does a show at QED in Queens on every month?
Once a month, yeah. The third Saturday of the month, I do a show called Don't Feed the Musicians! Exclamation point. And it's a comedy music variety show that you guys have been on. Or Small Batch
Small
Mafia.
Batch Mafia
your,
has performed.
Your rap collective.
Yeah.
Your joint. Your rap joint has been on.
Small Batch Mafia, if you remember, was the kind of guest star on our comedy rap episode
Jeremy Piven Explained.
Yes. Yep. And so that's how we all met Rob, through going to a show. And we go every once in a while up to Queens to see it. And it's always a really good time. So you can check that out. Don't Feed the Musicians at QED.
So this week, Rob has decided he's going to help us perform whatever song we create. But he
brave man.
He's going to be along for the ride with us to choose a random genre and a random topic. So
I'm very excited
all
to see
this
happen. I've heard this happen, but I've not seen it. So I'm excited to see how it goes.
It's exactly.
like being able to spin the wheel on the Price is Right.
The magic of audio editing makes it a lot more exciting than it is in real life, I will tell you.
The hell you say, woman.
don't give away our secrets.
Sorry.
Well, we get our random genre and topic by spinning the salad spinner, and that is a suggestion that comes from one of our listeners. This week, Vicky Crossan sent us an email.
This is the first email we've ever received from a listener. Most of our salad spinners come to us on Twitter, or people like text us or whatever. But this is the first time someone emailed us, and I was just like so impressed by this.
So thank you for that.
Oh, I sent you guys something media mail, so it'll be coming in like 2 years.
We'll get a carrier pigeon salad spinner suggestion.
Right.
Awesome. All right, what does Vicky say?
Vicky says, my spinner suggestion, talking like a denizen of the Black Lodge from Twin Peaks, record yourselves talking backwards, then play the clip in reverse so it sounds like you're talking forwards. And she says, P.S., you two are amazing. Your show is amazing, and I'm so happy that you advertised on Schmanners. thank you for coming to us from Schmanners, Vicky.
Yeah, and welcome to anyone else who came to us from Schmanners.
So Twin Peaks, are you familiar, Shannon?
I saw the first episode and then the first half of the second episode, and then Josh was like, this is dumb. We're turning it off.
He vetoed it.
Yeah. So we haven't given it another chance. I suspect that if we just like got into it, it's one of those things where, okay, I know this is going to be a hot take, controversial opinion. I know that this is not how most people feel, but like about Alfred Hitchcock films, I feel like because I didn't watch them contemporaneously because I wasn't alive, all of the new like things that Hitchcock created that movies have been riffing on forever, I was already familiar with. So I went back and watched the source material. It didn't feel new and exciting. It felt like, oh, I've seen that story before. I've seen that trope before.
Huh. You're such a Hitchcock hipster.
I guess. No, but I'm not. But I'm like the opposite because I don't like it. But I felt the same way about Twin Peaks because I think Twin Peaks was this really like genre breaking show that a lot of shows have not imitated, but have adapted and tweaked, like, you know, the, like quirky, small town, weird vibe-y kind of shows.
Sure.
And so going back and watching Twin Peaks, I was like, oh, it's just like an old version of one of those shows. And it didn't feel novel to me in the same way I think it would have been if I'd watched it when it actually was like on the air.
Cool. Well, that was a great long answer to have you seen Twin Peaks?
Whatever.
Rob, have you seen Twin Peaks?
I haven't seen any of the new ones. Showing my age, I remember the second season of the first incarnation because everybody was talking about it, and it was, I hadn't seen any of the first season. Mm. I watched the first episode of the second season. I'm like, this would have been interesting had I had any idea what's going on. But I do remember the backwards talking thing because I saw clips of that. I think, or that happened in the episode that I happened to catch many years ago. So
sure.
I do happen to, even though I haven't seen it, I do happen to know what this is talking about.
So what is it? Like they just talk backwards?
It was like a dream.
It's a dream that the main character has where he goes to this same room every time. And it's this really creepy little, there's like a dwarf who like moves really fast and is weird. And then like the way that people talk, it's... Yeah, they record themselves talking backwards and play it in reverse so it sounds like they're talking forward. It's really weird.
Yeah, it's like it had that, you know, because in the 80s there was the backwards masking thing in the heavy metal record, so it had that sort of weird, sort of demonic sort of vibe to it.
Okay. Kyle MacLachlan is the main character that has these dreams. Yeah.
All right.
So what should we say backwards? Song salad?
I was going to say, yeah, how about branding? It's all about branding.
Should we do welcome to Song Salad? Make it even harder.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. Okay.
Boot. All right. I think each of us should try it.
Okay.
You know? And I'll play each of them backwards and see who's the closest.
Me?
You want to go first, Shannon?
Fine. Dallas Nas Ot Maklau.
Okay. Rob, you want to try it?
Sure. Dallas Nyas Ut Mok Liao.
I think that's going to be good.
Okay, here we go. Dallas Nyas Ut Mok Liao.
Oh, yes. Ut Mok.
All right, and here they are backwards.
Welcome to Song Salad.
Welcome.
Our genre this week.
Trip-hop.
Or, if you allied it, trifop.
Trifop. That's how the kids say it.
Trip-hop, sometimes called down-tempo, is a musical genre that originated in the early 1990s in the United Kingdom, especially Bristol. It has been described as a fusion of hip-hop and electronica until neither genre is recognizable.
So, neither of those things.
Interesting way of describing that.
They cancel each other out perfectly.
Yeah.
It may incorporate a variety of styles, including funk, dub, soul, psychedelia, R&B, and house.
Rurb.
I'm still speaking backwards. As well as other forms of electronic music, and it can be highly experimental.
So, I'm curious, Rob, have you heard of trip hop before, and would you have known what it was?
It's one of those terms that I've heard before, and I would pretend I knew what it was when people say, oh, yeah, I spin mostly trip hop and deep soul funk wave, you know, and I'm like, oh, that sounds great. But when we were listening to an example, it reminded me of this band, I think they were from the 90s, called Single Gun Theory.
Cool.
And but yeah, so I know I've heard this kind of music before, but yeah, I probably wouldn't have been able to say articulate exactly what the genre was until we, you know, had our help here from Wikipedia.
I feel exactly the same way.
That's our specialty.
Yeah.
So this is the trip hop deriving from later idioms of acid house, which is an interesting way to start that sentence. The term was first used by the British music media to describe the more experimental variant of breakbeat, which we've talked about before, emerging from the Bristol sound scene in the early 1990s, which contained influences of soul, funk, and jazz. It was pioneered by acts like Massive Attack, which I think is like a pretty well-known. Tricky, and Portishead, which also is a pretty well-known group. Trip-hop achieved commercial success in the 1990s and has been described as Europe's alternative choice in the second half of the 90s. Alternative choice to what?
Right. Just for everything.
Yeah.
Politics, economics.
Just like, would you like eggs with sausage or bacon or trip-hop? Like, cool. Great. So when we were looking up a couple of these primary groups that were formed in or around Bristol in the UK in the late 80s and early 90s.
That's southwestern UK, right? Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, we did just Google that. So Massive Attack, which is one of, we mentioned Massive Attack, Tricky, and Portishead. And actually, the guy who is known as Tricky was part of Massive Attack at one point. So like we encounter a lot when we do research into these sub-genres is that people kind of splinter off and become their own acts from these larger groups.
So the sound and the style of this music, it's, I'd say, electronically driven, but doesn't necessarily sound like the other electronic genres that we've done in the past because it's not dance music.
No.
It is... It includes...
Trance music.
It's trancey music.
Yeah, they don't do the big sweeps and drops like the EDM.
Right.
Yeah.
They use synthesizers. They use a lot of like kind of organ and pad sounds. A lot of sort of affected, compressed sounding drum beats. And it's all pretty much of a similar tempo and groove. And the down tempo reference probably refers to the fact that it is a slower tempo than a lot of other like electronic radio hits of this time.
This might be our slowest song ever.
It might be our slowest song.
Yeah.
This episode is going to be 3 hours.
Yeah. Tantric songwriting.
Turntables and scratching are used, which probably is part of the hip hop influence. And usually there's a female singer.
But not always.
But not always. And today is one of those not always days because we have Rob.
We have Rob,
who's going to sing this song.
Why you got to be so binary?
for an example, we're going to use the song Glory Box by Portishead.
Nice. Unchained. We're all looking at a different picture through this new frame of mind.
So that Rob gets maximum surprise as to what he's singing. So let's banish Rob for a little bit.
Okay.
But like not in our heart, just in physical meat space.
I'll go hang out with the cats.
In our ears.
Yeah. We're going to get our topic and we'll write the song and then we'll bring you back in and share whatever little Frankenstein creation we've made. And then
force you to sing it.
Force you to sing it. Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah. So.
All right. See you in a bit.
Awesome.
Rob has left the room.
Yes. A secret time.
So we're going to spin the salad spinner to get our topic, and we're going to try to say Rob's name backwards.
Okay. Are you all right? I wrote it out.
Yeah.
You want me to go first?
Sure. So okay. Here's Rob Paravonian, as said by Shannon, backwards and played in reverse.
Anivorab bar.
All right, I'm gonna try. Nainovarap bar.
Rob. Paravonia.
Rob. Paravonia.
God. Vicky Crossan, you got us, girl.
That was really good.
Yeah. Oh. Yep. Oh.
What?
Oh.
Three-toed snake tooth skink.
Guys. Three-toed snake tooth skink.
The three-toed snake tooth skink is a species of skink in the
Skinkidae.
Skinkidae family. It is only found in Australia. End of article.
Oh, good. Okay. So I would think, though, that like skink is like a bigger article. So like skinks are like little chubby lizards.
It's a little chubby lizard. It's like a fat little gecko.
Yeah. Fat gecko. Okay. Skinks are lizards. So let's talk about skinks in general, and then we'll see if we can find more information about the three-toed snake tooth skink.
Three-toed snake tooth skink.
So good. Skinks are lizards belonging to the family Skinkidae in the infraorder Skinkomorpha. With more than 1,500 described species, the Skinkidae are one of the most diverse families of lizards.
Well, we found it, folks. The most diverse family of lizards.
Guys, I'm really excited about this. They have a whole section on their Wikipedia page called blood color. We'll get there. We'll get there.
Skinks look like true lizards, but most species have no pronounced neck.
Told
and their legs
fat.
Are relatively small. Several genera have no limbs at all.
What? So they're snakes?
They're skink snakes. Other genera, such as the Neoceps, have reduced limbs and with fewer than five toes on each foot.
Okay.
Interesting. In such species, their locomotion, is that what it says?
Yeah.
Resembles that of snakes more than that of lizards with well-developed limbs. As a general rule, the longer the digits, the more arboreal the species is likely to be.
Oh, God. Tree skinks.
Tree skinks. A biological ratio can determine the ecological niche of a given skink species.
What?
The Skinkidae ecological niche index is a ratio based on anterior foot length at the junction of the ulna radius carpal bones to the longest digit divided by the snout to vent length. So who's going around measuring skinks?
Who figured this out?
That's crazy.
Who measured all the things on lizards?
And was like, well, if you do the ratio of...
But it's one ratio to a different way. You have to like compare two ratios. Wait, snout to vent length? I'm pretty sure that means from your nose to your hoo-ha. I'm pretty sure...
to vent? Yeah.
That's what your vent is.
Or your butt.
So, well, I think with, don't they have like one hole?
Birds do.
I think, well, but lizards and birds are relatives. Mm. I think it's all
Let's
happening.
Let's not investigate that further.
I'm clicking it. Most species of skinks have long tapering tails that they can shed if predators. Okay. So we've all like seen this happen on like David Attenborough's.
Sure.
You know, like
or
nature
Earth or whatever.
Yeah. You know, they, something like a little like weasel or whatever bites the gecko's tail and the gecko like releases its tail basically.
So weird.
So they can regenerate a lost part of the tail, though imperfectly. Some species with stumpy tails have no special
tailed skinks.
Oh my God. These guys are amazing. Skinks are generally carnivorous and in particular insectivorous. So that means that their prey includes flies, crickets, grasshoppers, beetles, and caterpillars.
A trait apparent in nearly all species of skink is a love of digging and burrowing. They love it. Most spend their time underground, where they are mostly safe from predators, sometimes even digging out tunnels for easy navigation. They also use their tongues to sniff the air and track their prey. When they encounter their prey, they chase it down until they corner it or manage to land a bite and then swallow it whole.
This is the best sentence. As a family, skinks are cosmopolitan. What? Species occur in a variety of habitats worldwide, apart from boreal and polar regions. I don't know what boreal means. I know what arboreal means. So what's boreal? Subarctic.
Ah.
All right. Okay, so many species are good burrowers, as Scott just mentioned. More species are terrestrial or fossorial, which means burrowing, than arboreal, tree climbing, or aquatic. Some are sand swimmers, especially the desert species, such as the mole skink or the sand skink in Florida. Some use a very similar action in moving through grass tussocks. Most skinks are diurnal, day active, and typically bask on rocks or logs during the day, I would assume because they are cold-blooded, which means they cannot regulate their body temperature.
Sure.
Skinks lay eggs. Oh my goodness. Guess what color a skink's blood is?
Did you guess green? Then you're right.
That's right. And it's because they have a buildup of the waste product biliverdin.
Huh. Do you think that's from... Well, no, they don't eat plants.
Yeah, no. Who knows? Green it's some blood. Kind of bile that is green, biliverdin.
So, the three-toed snake-tooth skink is the topic for this episode.
Okay, let's get a Google image of a three-toed snake-tooth skink so we can describe it for the people.
Ew.
Oh.
Ew.
Guys, it's gross. It's okay. So this is one of the snaky skinks.
Ew.
It looks like a little tube.
Little tube, but it's got little tiny like appendages.
It's got like
little tiny arms that shouldn't be on it.
It's got like little T-Rex arms. Like little weak floppy T-Rex arms.
We found the missing link between lizards and snakes.
It's gross.
That's what this is.
It's the skink link.
Ew.
Ew, their little legs are really freaking me out.
Yeah, it's not pleasant.
So it basically looks like, oh my gosh, you know what this looks like? On the Animorphs books, if someone was morphing into, like, from a lizard. So if you gave a lizard, that's ridiculous. If you gave a lizard an Animorph power and it was morphing into a snake.
Yeah.
It's halfway between a lizard and a snake are what these things look like.
It's literally the missing link.
These upset me.
All right.
It's not even one of the like kind of cute chubby ones. It's a long, skinny,
gross
little floppy nibbles one. I don't like it.
There is a photo that we will tweet to accompany this episode.
Yes, this is our cover photo for this episode, 100%.
Of the skink. With little tubby arms sticking out of its snake body, and someone wrote above it, Charles Darwin, bitches.
So good.
All right. Trip hop and the three-toed snake-toothed skink. Sung by our comedy musician friend, Rob Paravonian. Here we go.
Okay.
All right. We have Rob back with us.
I am back. So you're going to lay this subject matter on me?
We are.
We are.
All right.
We are. So, you know, we're doing trip hop.
Yeah.
Which is that kind of down tempo, sort of relaxed, but a little bit trippy, loungy sounding music.
Right, from Bristol, if I recall.
Yes. Yes. Lovely Bristol. It's nice this time of year.
Southwest of England.
Yeah. And one of the things I found about the lyrics specifically is that there isn't really one topic that trip hop addresses. It's kind of what you would find in a lot of music, which is like love, loss of love, but then also just things like life in general, city life. It's pretty broad. And then also I found a couple things that said the music is often like moody, somber, or regretful. So
right.
This kind of more thoughtful and introspective tone to the lyrics.
Okay,
cool. So with all that in mind, our topic this week is... the three-toed snake-tooth skink.
What?
We'll show you a picture.
All right. I'm imagining there's three toes and a snake tooth, but a skink, is that a vermin? Is it, what is it? A rodent?
Three-toed, snake tooth, skink.
It's kind of like skink. A little.
Oh, wow.
It's like a little lizard with like little baby arms.
It's like a baby Jabba the Hutt.
It's like a half snake, half lizard. Like, see, it's got little feet.
Yeah. What a freak of evolution that thing is.
Yeah.
Or intelligent design. Depending on your reader's preference. That is amazing looking.
So
creepy, right?
Yeah. I would be introspective if I were that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's a skink. Lots of different skinks exist.
Oh, man.
And that's one of them.
Just a dirty little skink.
Yeah. So we didn't, obviously, you know, you can see that this article is only like a sentence. So then we went and we just looked up skinks in general.
Right.
Okay.
Our particular skink is only found in Australia. And from what I found, it's actually only found in Eastern Australia, kind of along
Bristol.
The coast. Yeah. They are considered vulnerable as far as like the species. So their like conservation status is vulnerable. In Australia. I also found that some people, and you'll hear some of these things referenced in my lyrics, but some people have reported finding some on, I think they're called like the Kulula Islands, that are like an immaculate bluish gray.
Okay.
One of these Australian three-toed snake-toothed skinks. they kind of like range in like it seems like they also have like some brown and cream markings and then like a bunch of like banded or like spotted markings too. They tend to like to hang out on the forest floor, like under like rotting logs and stuff.
Awesome.
Don't we all?
and then about skinks in general that we found, they can live in trees, they can live in water, they can live on land, they can swim in sand. So like desert versions of them swim in sand.
Awesome. Like the sand, the from Dune.
Yeah. They also, some of them, not our skink, but some of them have green blood.
Cool.
Because of
ours doesn't?
No, ours doesn't.
That's sad.
I know. But I still reference it anyway.
Say
it's not, but anyway. Yep.
Well, in Wikipedia, I saw one sentence that says that they're cosmopolitan.
Yeah, that was my favorite sentence. I'm so glad you saw that.
Yeah, under habitat.
Yeah.
Right.
I was like, I don't know really what that means exactly.
They can live anywhere.
They're very urbane. They love the theater and the arts.
They're just, the suburbs are just too boring for them.
Right. Yeah. They're citizens of the world.
Yeah, for sure. So that was our challenge.
Awesome.
Is to bring that into a trip hop song. So I do have lyrics for you.
And I have not heard these lyrics yet either.
Oh,
this
excellent.
Is a surprise.
So we're going to do like a little, and I tried to make it kind of like meditative and dreamy a little bit. So it's not like, there's not like a story to this song or anything like that, but I wanted to work in as many, facts about
skink-related facts
as possible. So you'll see. Okay. Here we go. Chorus, little pre-chorus, verse, little pre-chorus, chorus.
Okay.
Cool.
Life on the ground, don't make a sound. Skinks slide. Skittering through, grayish and blue. Skinks glide. Oh, swim in the sand, swim in the sand. In trees or on land, trees, water or land. And then the chorus. Green's not the color of my blood. Short are my arms, like nubs. Yeah, green's not the color of my blood. Useless noodle arms, like nubs.
Wow.
I like it.
So.
Do you have a title in mind?
I mean, noodle arms is good.
I think just like nubs.
Like nubs? I mean, like nubs is fine with me.
It's a little Ewok-y, though.
It is a little Ewok-y.
Life on the ground is good.
Life on the ground.
The opening line.
Yeah.
Life on the ground.
Nubs is fun to say. Nubs is just fun to say.
Yeah, I mean, life on the, I think life on the ground is like a pretty epic.
It's
and
it,
that sounds
trip
more
hop.
Trip hop.
Yeah,
it
you're
does.
Right.
It's not as, it's not humorous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Cool. Life on the ground. And musically, what we got going on, I listened to some more trip hop examples. Things that are common across the board, I think, in trip hop. You have a lot of like vinyl record sound sort of like permeating the song, so it almost sounds like the whole song is being played on an old record.
Oh, it's like the crackling.
The crackling, yeah. Okay. And popping, yeah.
The whoosh.
Very compressed sounding drum loops, like that means they sound like small and tight and not like very present and reverby. Usually there's some kind of a loop going on of like a piano or an organ or something like that, or some kind of like Moog or theremin synthesizer sound. Record scratches, turntable, like sub bass, like a kind of just boomy low bass sound, and then things that sound sort of distorted or glitchy or broken. So we're gonna throw all that together
cool
in this song about life on the ground.
Excellent.
Yeah,
we ready to try it?
Let's try it.
all right here it is.
Life on the Ground,
a trip hop song
by Shannon and Scott,
starring Rob.
Yeah.
Live on the ground, don't make a sound, sting slide. Glittering through grayish and blue, skinks glide. Oh, swim in the sand, sand. In trees or on land, through water or land. Reach not the color of my blood, my blood. Short are my arms like nubs, like nubs. Reach not the color of my blood, my blood. Useless noodle arms like nubs.
So there you have it, folks.
Yeah, well, it was pretty sweet. I think you really nailed the kind of like disaffected, like not trying too hard kind of vocal.
Yeah, I was going for the maybe I've taken a Valium or something. You know, yeah. It has that such mellow vibe to the music. And
right.
Yeah, and I think we talked about this, but like the vocals in this type of music are just kind of another layer of the instrumentation, and you're not meant to like really pay attention to the lyrics.
Well, maybe you are, but it doesn't come through that way.
Right, yeah, these aren't the songs that someone's going to use in an audition piece to like belt out to the...
Right, you know? Right, right, right. It's like it's textural.
Yeah, that's good.
Like skinks.
Good way of putting it. Like a...
Just another layer.
On the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
Slithering just above the surface.
Yeah. Through the forest litter.
Yes.
I will say this is probably one of my favorite songs in terms of just like capturing the vibe of the genre.
Yeah.
You know, I think
listening to
the music,
it turned
out pretty good.
It sounds to me exactly like, yeah, it's nailed the genre.
Yeah. I think good job, Scott.
Way to go.
I wasn't saying that to like toot my own horn. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, because there's no horns in this genre.
Exactly.
But it's tooting, you tooted your own loop.
Tooting your loop. Oh, no.
And yes, beautifully sung, Rob.
Yes, thank you so much, Rob. And so.
Disaffectedly sung by Rob. Yeah.
And we were also saying we're actually a little disappointed that this was the genre because Rob is a great guitar player.
Yeah,
and we
Rob's
had a
an
guitar
awesome
ready
guitar
for
player.
Oh, wow.
And like, it's literally like the one of the only ones we couldn't work guitar into, even. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That is the magic of the salad.
Yeah. Ugh.
That's the way the salad spins.
I mean, it is.
Da-da-da-da-da.
Until next week.
If you want to hear more by Rob, about Rob, for Rob,
pictures of Rob,
FRBR, his clothing brand FRBR, for Rob, by Rob, you can go to robprocks.com. And we didn't really talk about, so like comedy music,
yes.
In general, like comedy, like rock, mm-hmm. I would say. And so, and you've been playing comedy rock for a very long time. So, like, what is your, like, interest in the genre and, like, what keeps you coming back to that genre?
Well, it's I've always, even when I was in a band that was quote unquote serious, my lyrics always came out sort of quirky or funny. You know, they might be Giants-esque or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
So, and I did stand up, and I don't know, it's just, I've always been a musician, so it's something, that's something I will always do, and I just can't take music seriously, or I can't take the lyrics seriously, and I take the music seriously, but the lyrics, I can't take that part of it seriously, especially in genres like rock and rap and stuff, where there's just so much, so if people are so over the top and full of themselves, it's much more fun to, as the Brits say, you know, take a piss, you know? And so, yeah, it's something about the contrast between the braggadocio and just, I don't know, I'm not articulating well at all. So for more bad articulation, come to my website. But yeah, I like making people laugh. And as in the music world, I guess, especially if you're doing lyrics, you know, we were talking about these lyrics sort of being like a layer. There are times in rock where I think lyrics can be really dumb. And if my lyrics are making a joke and the audience laughs, I know that they were listening to the lyrics and they understood what I was trying to say. Whereas if I wrote some abstract song about nothing, people could say, oh, that's really deep, man. What's it about? And it's like, oh, I was looking at my shoes when I wrote it, you know? So I feel like I know that I'm communicating when people laugh at the lyrics because I know that they've understood what I've tried to say. So that's part of the appeal
that's
to me.
That's a really cool way to look at it. Yeah. Like, you absolutely know that your intention is translating.
Right. Yeah. Because you get that immediate feedback.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So cut out that first part and keep that part.
we'll
creatively edit it.
It's fine. On the Twitter and the Facebookins and all that stuff, you're at Rob P. Rocks?
Yep, robprocks.com, Rob P. Rocks on Twitter and Facebook and the other thing with the pictures, Instagram.
Cool.
Great.
That's awesome.
Thanks, guys. This was fun.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And if you like what you heard today, and if you're just being introduced to us because, you know, you were on Rob's Twitter feed and you don't follow us, you can follow us at Song Salad Cast. We're also, our website is songsaladpodcast.com. You can subscribe on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play Store, on, I don't know, a million other...
Wherever podcasts
are sold. And you can also check us out on Patreon. Thank you so much to everyone who is supporting us in the last couple weeks. We are truly, truly honored. And this episode, I think, will come out already in August. So we should have already started putting out some of our bonus content for donors only.
Yes.
Yes.
I didn't need to say any of that.
Oh, sorry. Did you?
No, I was just like, yeah, you go, girl.
Just off the top of my head, we've recorded so many episodes this weekend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And I'm Rob.
And together
we're...
Skanks.
Skanks.
One, two, three,
just skanks.